don't know if I was ever asked to give a testimony before. I don't remember. But there are other things I don't remember nowadays. Yeah. But this morning, I don't know who we had on the television, but he related our life to a puzzle, that each of us has a puzzle, you know, that shows the parts of our life as we grow up. I thought that was sort of a nice image. So I guess this morning I'm going to let you know about a few of those pieces in my puzzle. And I'm thinking of it as four phases in my life. The fact that I was born into Chickie's church from day one, you know, I was made aware of who Jesus was. Some people do not hear about him till they're 40 or whatever, but I was born into that family. And because of that, I attended all kinds of things at Chickie's. I was baptized at age 9, and I'm thinking, what did I really think at that point? And I truly think that I understood that I was saying that Jesus is the Son of God. As far as following his teaching, I don't think I was quite aware of all that at age 9. And I even go back, maybe I shouldn't say this, back to before Chickie's was built, we were attending Mount Hope in some fashion. That's a long time ago. But anyway, we were in the new building, and I was baptized in the front in that pool at Chickie's, and I think it was Bob Hess. How many of you remember Robert O. Hess? He played a big part in my life. So being at Chickie's and growing up there, you know, you get involved with Sunday school, you go to Bible school, summer Bible school, you end up in the youth group, and back then we did things on the back streets near your growing up place. I think it was called drag racing, you know, back then. No, we did it. And thinking through about my life, things like that came back to me when growing up and what we did back then. But one thing I wanted to point out is, in Bible school, summer Bible school, we were taught many verses to memorize. And it was sort of like a, I wouldn't call it a game, but how many people memorized this? You know, you got a star or something, you know, brought out and pointed out as to memorizing many verses. Well, one other thing we memorized was the books of the Old Testament. Do we all know them? Should we try? Are you ready? I get mixed up at the very end a little bit, but this comes from Bible school back then. So let's hear it. First and Second Kings and First and Second Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Songs, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, this is where I get mixed up, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zechariah, Haggai, and Zephaniah, and Malachi. Well, that brought a few tears remembering that time in my life. Now, during that part, of course, attending Bible school and Sunday school and youth and all that, you know, you start to understand a little more about who Jesus really was. But you're still really young. And I'm not sure that I actually put a lot of that into living it at that point. But I was aware I was aware. Well then, high school, graduation, and then phase two started. Phase two, I got married at age 18. That was way too young. But my friends were getting married. Then the draft came. I think it was 65. And at that point, we went into 1W service and unknowingly started the path of my future career. I got a job in Prince George's County Courthouse in Maryland as a clerk in juvenile court. I had no experience, but that's where the job was, and that's where I went. I did have shorthand and that type of thing in high school, and I played a part in this. And when that was over, we moved back to PA, and Glenn Foss, you know Glenn Foss? He was in juvenile probation, and he got me a job there. So I'm going from juvenile court, now I'm into juvenile probation. I didn't choose this, it just happened. But anyway, I worked there a year or so, and then I had my two daughters in 69 and 70. But I had to go back to work. Still, not taking the time to grow as a Christian, and without relying on God's things became too great to deal with. I finally changed jobs in order to get my retirement money out of the county for a down payment to buy a house. And we went to work, and I went to work at the law firm across the street in 1978. And I was there till 2015. So then phase three comes into play. 5 years later, I started a new life. But Robert Hess kept in contact with us and me, and we would have many lunches because he wanted us connected to a church. And at this point, we weren't connecting. And he finally got us involved with Lancaster Church of the Brethren. And then we transferred our memberships in 1990, and a whole new world started. We both became very involved with the church at that point. It just seemed like we were drawn into every aspect of the church, and I had never been in, quote, I'll call it management of a church. I didn't know how it ran. I just attended, you know, did this, did that. Wow. The first thing they got me into was church clerk. Holy cow. That was more than I expected, and that's where I learned about all the committee here, committee there, moderator, you know, executive committee, all that. That was quite a learning point. But in all of that, I started to see how Jesus can work, how he can, without you even realizing it, direct you. He can direct you, and you don't even know he's doing that. God's guidance can come in unexpected ways. And then in 1994, we ended up with temporary physical custody of two grandchildren, ages 2 and 6, until one of the parents became able to take them. But that did not happen. We had them for 15 years. And again, God had a plan for us. In 1995, God pulled us into his service by involving us in a new outreach at Lancaster, creating a contemporary service. And we both got our guitars out of the closet and ended up playing in the band and leading worship before we knew it. God was in control and was leading us forward even at this time in our lives. Which brings us into phase four of this puzzle. Just think about that. I thought that was a great image. Your life is in this puzzle, and pieces might be shadowy, you know, and then after a while they become an image. I think that's a I don't know, that hit me this morning. Anyway, now we're in phase four of my life, and I'm still growing. Tell you the truth, my faith in God became more real once we got involved with Lancaster than ever before. I mean, I had to be involved in so many things that it just opened my eyes. Maybe not to all pleasant things, but pretty much so. But it was a growing spell, and it added more pieces to my puzzle. Okay, phase four was a surprise. I went to, you know, some of us who are at a certain age get a colonoscopy every, 10 years or whatever. Well, it was my turn, and of course, they want to see you beforehand and go over your history and so forth. So I did, and she saw that I had dropped a lot of weight that year, and I kept telling her, well, I was sick. I didn't feel good, so I didn't eat. But she kept after it and after it, and she noticed that I don't have a blood blood count. This was a red and white blood cell count in my history. I've had other blood tests, but this didn't count my blood cells. And so she said, if you don't mind, we'll take some blood before you leave, and then it'll be in your history. So she did. And then at 10 o'clock that night, I get this call, and I normally don't answer calls unless I know who it is. Something told me to answer the call. And here was the doctor who read my blood work. And he said, how are you feeling? And I said, I'm fine. And I was. He said, your white blood cells are way over 200,000. We need to know why. I said, well, what are they supposed to be? 4 to 10. Okay. Should I call and schedule time tomorrow? No, tonight. Tonight? And then he says, is your husband home? Well, what happened was I was diagnosed with chronic myeloid leukemia. Now, that sounds horrible. I wasn't sick. I didn't feel bad. But who told that? It wasn't a doctor. I think it was a PA. To insist on why I lost weight and took the blood test. Who do you think? Well, for me, I was lucky it was caught in a chronic stage, and it can be controlled by a pill, a very expensive pill, but a pill. Not everybody with the, especially the other type of leukemia, there's two main types of leukemia. They don't get treated unless they become sick. But I take a pill, and that pill, since 2014, and I've changed pills, has actually kept it in remission. But if I stop taking them, it'll come back, because it's not, quote, curable. But that pill takes care of it. But that was another part of the puzzle in my life, for it to be found when I didn't feel sick. That just blows my mind, you know. When else would it have been taken, you know? Well, God is so good. Then I retired in 2015 after 37 years with a law firm. I still go in and visit, and it actually took me 2 years to deal with the loss. Being there for 37 years, we were family. And that I didn't want my job back as office manager, I still missed the people. And it took me 2 years not to cry going out the back door. I don't cry anymore. But I do keep in contact with a few people that are still there. Again, God was with me. He got me through some of that change in my life. And another piece of the puzzle was put in. We stayed involved with the Contemporary Service at Lancaster for over 25 years. Now, that was a lot of commitment. We didn't really have Sundays off where we could sit and listen to the message because we were doing something. We had to take care of this, run the media, all that. So when we retired and we started to go south for a few weeks here and there, and down there we were led to Good Shepherd Church of the Brethren through people we knew at Lancaster. Or we wouldn't have gotten there, you know, but we were. So somebody directed them to get us involved. And I think you know the story from then on. When we went south and thought we were going to stay some months, we gave notice to all those things we were involved with because nobody would step up before, and we were still had. I said, we're not going to be here. So that went a little better. And then we got involved with Good Shepherd. And we started, and they knew that we played and led worship. So before we knew it, we were doing that. And eventually said, how about every other Sunday? And then we came back, and that was after COVID mess, and churches were closed, and Lancaster closed, and we decided to go to Dove, where Claire's son is an assistant pastor there. And we were able to sit and worship and not worry about, is the media gonna work? Is the sound okay? You know, who's reading this? Who's doing that? What songs are coming up next? We didn't have to do any of that. No prayer shawl meetings, no workers, women's fellowship, no counting money anymore, Sundays, you know, all that we were into. And it felt good for a while of just not being involved and sitting there and listening to the pastor and being fed again. And then as we were going to Dove one Sunday last year, I saw your sign out there. And the sign's not out there anymore along East High. That's what caught our attention. I said, you know, I think that's a plant from Chickies, and I should know some people. Why don't we just for fun stop and see who we know? There was another piece in our puzzle, and here we are. Just to say that God can lead you without you even knowing that he's leading you places. Don't give up. Don't give up. What a journey. And today's one song really hit home, that we breathe his breath. I'm not sure I thought about that recently. So maybe every time you get up in the morning, you take a deep breath and think about whose breath you have in you. That's amazing. How things hit you every now and then, and it doesn't other times. That was a beautiful thought this morning, I thought. That is my testimony. It was sort of good to, it took me a little while to think back, how much do I share, how much don't I, is this worthwhile? But I sort of had fun, especially that first part where we grew up and did this and did that and all the, it was wonderful, and I do miss Bob Hess. He was a big influence in my life. He really was. So, thank you. Thank you.
Well, another story we sang this, or yeah, another story, another song we sang this morning, Merle, said that our story isn't over yet. Yeah. And so none of our stories are over because we're still here. I mean, someday our story will be over and then we can sit back and rest. But now I guess there's things that God wants us to be doing.
That last
So, yeah, yeah. But it is nice to know whose hands we're in. So, thank you for sharing that. And I hope that the Holy Spirit will take a part of that testimony to each of us. And there's parts that hit home in our hearts. So, we thank God for doing that. So, let's just close benediction. Father, we just thank you for just being the awesome God that you are. We thank you for watching over us. We thank you for directing our lives, even when we may not realize you're doing that. We want to be open to what you have us do in our lives. We want to be open to talk to people you want us to talk to. We want to be open to letting you use us. And so we ask this week, Father, that you would use each of us in a way that would bring you honor and glory. In your name we pray, amen.